Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, the fourth chapter. In your Scofield Reference Bible, page 1294. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning with the ninth verse, we'll read responsively through verse 16. That 16th verse being the text verse for this morning's message. And let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now there's just one scripture I'll be turning to read for you. It's found in Luke, the 10th chapter, the 20th verse. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And let's pray. Father, what a wonderful place this is, made wonderful by your presence. We believe that we have the anointing of thy Spirit here with us today. We pray that you'd help us to consciously give thee the right to rule our spirits in the matter of hearing and doing thy word. Help us to do so and help our preacher speak through him and to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want to speak this morning on the subject of how to be a good Christian. Just as simple as that, how to be a good Christian. I'm going to read for you. You need not turn to it. Let me read for you just one verse you read a while ago. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Notice the word grace. Throne of grace. That we may obtain mercy. So you obtain grace and mercy at the same throne. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So you come to the throne of grace. Why? To obtain mercy and grace. I could call this message this morning justice, mercy, and grace. But I want you to notice very carefully this morning this matter of mercy and grace. And in understanding and appropriating mercy and grace, not only do you become a Christian, but you become a good Christian. You become a Christian when you receive mercy and grace. You become a good Christian when you give mercy and grace. So let me dwell on those two words. Everything I say this morning will have to do with mercy and grace. Our Heavenly Father, I pray you to help me to be a blessing to these dear people. I pray you to speak to my own heart and may the hearts of the people and the minds of the people be alert to receive and respond. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to just remind you of that one little statement before I start speaking or preaching where the Savior said, don't rejoice because the demons are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now, I want you to notice this. That's a positive thing. He does not say rejoice because your sins are removed from the book, but that your name is added to the book. Now, I'm sure that it's okay to rejoice that your sins are removed from the book. Nothing wrong with that. But the real rejoicing is that your name is written in the book, the positive part. Justice, don't leave me, justice is that which I deserve. That's what the word justice means. That which I deserve. That means if I went to hell and burned forever, that would be justice, because I'm a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So I have sinned, and so have you. And since the wages of sin is death, and the soul that sinneth it shall surely die, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That means if I got justice, I'd go to hell, because I owe the debt, and you owe the debt. But what happened was, Jesus came, and I'm not going to dwell on this part, but Jesus came, and he lived a perfect life and did not owe the debt. He did not have to go to hell because he didn't sin. He was without sin. The Bible says he knew no sin. But he went to Calvary, and on the cross he dipped his soul in the torments of hell and suffered all the punishment that all of us and all the people who've ever lived or who live now or ever will live would suffer if they went to hell. But he didn't owe that debt. But in paying that debt, he paid it for me, so that my debt might be paid. I owe a debt I had not paid. He paid a debt he did not owe. So he puts his payment against my account or record if I will accept it. And that satisfies the justice of Almighty God. Now, joining a church doesn't satisfy the justice of God. Being baptized doesn't satisfy the justice of God. It is the payment that Jesus paid. He who owed no debt, and I who have paid no debt. He who paid a debt he did not owe, and I who owe a debt I cannot pay, or have not paid. We got together by my faith in him. He took his payment over here that he did not owe and transferred it to my account over here that I did owe. And the justice of God is satisfied. The average preacher this morning who stands behind a pulpit in America knows nothing about salvation. Nothing about salvation. Salvation is based on God's justice being met at Calvary. And as I've said so often from this pulpit, that means Christ did not basically die for me. Christ died for God. Christ died so God could take me back if I would trust him. Christ died so God could offer me a way back, because God loved me more than I loved him. God loves me with the love of deity. I love him with the love of humanity. And so God wanted me back more than I wanted back. I prove it. There are folks this morning here who are not saved. You don't even want to get saved. So God wants you back more than you want to come back. Listen to me, young people. Listen to me. I'm saying that Calvary satisfied the justice of God. Now, follow me carefully. That enabled God. Hear me, don't leave him. The fact that God's justice was satisfied, then that enabled God to give me two things: mercy and grace. Mercy and grace. Now, what is mercy? And what is grace? Don't leave me, because you're going to learn something. And if you're right with God, you'll have a spell somewhere along in here this morning. Let me get this microphone so I can have a spell with you if I decide to. Now, the truth is, God's justice being satisfied on Calvary enabled God to be able. God could not have given me mercy if his justice had not been satisfied. God could not have given me grace. But when Jesus paid my price on Calvary, that meant that God now could invite me back. And if I would accept him and come back, that meant that God could give me two things: mercy and grace. Now, what is mercy? Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Mercy is withholding what I deserve. That's mercy. God knew that I sinned, and God knew that I deserved to go to hell, but because of Calvary, God withheld that which I deserve. I deserve to go to hell. God said, you don't have to go to hell if you'll accept my plan. What is grace? Grace is giving what I don't deserve. That's the difference. Mercy is God withholding what I do deserve. Grace is God giving to me what I don't deserve. Now, it is the second one that God says to rejoice about. God said, okay, if you want to rejoice, that's okay, because you're not getting what you do deserve. But you really ought to have a spell because you're getting what you don't deserve. That's what John 3:14 and 15 means. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so was the Son of Man lifted up, that whosoever believed in him should not perish. That's mercy. But have everlasting life. That's grace. If you believe on Christ, God gives his mercy and keeps you from perishing. Then he turns around, gives you his grace, and gives you eternal life. That's what John 3:16 means, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That's mercy. But have everlasting life. That's grace. There are two things you have this morning. One is what you won't have to suffer, and one is what you will get. So God, by his mercy, said, you don't have to perish if you'll trust me, but I'll go beyond that. I'll give you my mercy, my grace also. I'll give you everlasting life. And that means this morning, that because of Calvary, anybody in this room today who's not saved, realizing that Jesus paid your penalty, and your church can't save you, and I can't save you, and that communion table can't save you, and that baptistry can't save you, and your priest can't save you, your confirmation can't save you, your confession can't save you, your good works can't save you, the Pope can't save you, but your faith in Jesus means that God appropriates his payment for your debt, and now then God said, I got two things to give you for Christmas. I got mercy, and I've got grace. I say, God, what's mercy? He said, you're not going to get what you deserve. I say, well, praise the Lord, I'm not going to get what I deserve. He said, unwrap the other package. He says, you're going to get what you don't deserve to get. That's what it means in John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and is shall not come into condemnation. That's mercy. I shall not come to condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That's grace. Man, I sat under my Christmas tree this morning, and I say, good night. Let's see what I got for Christmas when I got saved. And by the way, it was Jesus coming to earth. That's what it's all about. He came as the Lamb of God, and our celebrating his coming to the earth means that there now is a way where God's justice can allow him to give us mercy and grace. And I open the first package, and I say, God says, you're not going to go to hell. I say, well, glory, hallelujah, I'm not going to go to hell. Hey, that's enough just to stay out of hell. But God says, I've got some other package for you. Open this one. He says, you're going to go to heaven too. Thank God this morning, I'm not going to get what I deserve. And thank God, I'm going to get what I don't deserve. That's what you call mercy and grace. Mercy saves me from hell. And by the way, the mercy brings peace. Check and see sometime in the Bible how mercy and peace go together. Mercy brings peace. Grace brings rejoicing. And the fact that where I'm not going to go, whew, that's a relief. Well, look where I'm going to go. Well, glory. So, the Bible says mercy brings peace and grace brings rejoicing. Grace is when God writes your name in heaven. See, mercy is when he scratches it out of the bad book. And grace when he puts it in the good book. And so God says, I now can give you mercy. That means you won't get what you deserve. And by the way, that ought to cause you to have a spell by itself. You deserve to go to hell, but you're not going to go there. You deserve to burn forever, but you're not going to burn just for 1 second. You deserve to live eternity with the devil and his angels, but you're not going to do that. That's mercy. But God turns around and said, I've got a bonus for you. I've got grace to give you also. That means you're going to go to heaven. You're going to live with Jesus. You're going to live with your loved ones. You're saved. You're going to live with the angels forever. And God said, I'm going to give you mercy and grace because my justice has been satisfied on Calvary.
Mercy takes the sins off the record. And that gives me peace. Justice puts the righteousness of Jesus Christ on my record, and that gives me rejoicing. And that word rejoice there means keep on joying. It means joy and joy and joy and joy and joy and joy and joy. Rejoice means to joy again. And it's the linear tense, which means joy again and joy again and joy again and joy again and joy again. Here's the difference between you this morning, you folks that are sitting there doing nothing, you folks that are sitting there rejoicing. The difference is, to many of you, salvation is a 911 number. I'm not going to go to hell. So you sit there this morning with the peace of God, but you're not rejoicing. Because you're dwelling on what you're not going to get. But you can get promoted to grade number two. And you can come over here and think about what you're going to get you don't deserve, and that makes you rejoice. Now that's the difference of the people this morning. You folks that are here this morning, you're saved. You say, Brother House, why can't I get happy like these other folks? Because you're thinking on where you got saved from, and we're thinking where we got saved to. Mercy brings peace, contentment, relief. I'm not going to go to hell. And that's where many of you are sitting. And that's okay. That's all right. But there's a graduate course over here you never got to yet. But Jesus didn't say, rejoice because your names are not written in a bad book anymore. He said, rejoice because your names are written in the good book. Mercy forgives my sins. And that brings me peace. Grace justifies me as if I'd never sinned. And that brings me rejoicing. Mercy took me out of the book of death, and that gives me peace. Grace put me in the book of life, and that gives me rejoicing. Mercy keeps me from the punishment, don't miss it, mercy keeps me from the punishment of the great white throne judgment, but grace gives me rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. Boy, oh boy, hot dog, whoopee, rah rah, 15 for team. I'm not going to stand someday at the great white throne judgment and hear my name called and be cast into the lake of fire. Thank God I won't stand at the great white throne judgment. And that, boy, that gives me relief. That gives me peace. But you can go beyond that. Not only will you not stand at the great white throne, but you will stand at the judgment seat and get rewards from God and be married to Jesus Christ. So I'm saying when God's justice was satisfied on Calvary, that enabled God to give you two Christmas presents. Mercy, which is what you deserve, you're not going to get, and grace, which is what you're going to get you don't deserve. Mercy removes me from eternal separation from God. That's peace. Grace leads him to be with me always. See, mercy keeps me from the devil. Grace brings me to God. Mercy keeps me from not ever being with, not being separated from God, and grace means He'll never leave me or forsake me. Mercy saves me from uselessness. Grace gives me usefulness. So, actually, all these things I don't have to have now. Praise God. I don't have to die and go to hell. I don't have to face God for my sins. I don't have to go to the great white throne judgment. I don't have to burn forever. I don't have to be separated from God. I don't have to cry and weep and wail and gnash my teeth and beg for water. Thank God! God's mercy has saved me from hell! Wonderful! What a peace! What contentment! What joy that brings! But there's something even better than that. God said, bonus number two is, not only do you get rid of what you ought to get, but you're going to get a whole bunch of things you don't deserve to have. That's what makes you rejoice. Some of you are sitting there right now saying, boy, I'm glad I'm not going to go to hell. Whew. Others have said, you got through with that a while ago. Thank God I'm going to go to heaven. So you folks sitting there right now, just as peaceful as you can be, because I can tell, because you're snoozing. I don't know, and I don't care. All I want is my rocking chair. I'm not going to go to hell. That's what some of you little pusillanimous teenagers say. If I listen to rock music, will I go to hell? No, but you'll have to go to hell to hear it after you die. Well, being that garbage in heaven, I'll tell you for sure. I'm saying there's more to Christianity than what you than the fact that you didn't get what you deserve. There's something else. Thank God, God has a bundle of things you don't deserve to give you also. That's the difference in mercy and grace. Be you not conformed to this world, Romans 12, 1, 2 says. That's mercy. But be you transformed by the renewing of your mind that you approve what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's grace. It involves our Wednesday night teaching. Imputation. Old sins removed, mercy. Righteousness of Christ written down, recorded, grace. Justification. Sins forgiven, mercy. Sins forgotten, justified, grace. Sanctification. Not set apart for hell, mercy. Set apart for heaven, grace. Regeneration. Old things are passed away, mercy. All things become new, grace. Conversion. Not used any longer for the bad, mercy. Now used for the good, grace. Predestination. We'll lose the old body someday. Here's some of you folks. You rejoice that one of these days you're not going to have cancer anymore. One of these days you're not going to get tired anymore. One of these days you can stay awake all during a whole sermon. Oh, you're just so pleased that this old body. One of these days I won't suffer and I won't get old and I won't get wrinkles and I won't get stooped back and I won't get hernias and so forth. And praise God for that. And all in the world your Christianity is thank God what I won't have to have anymore. But you know there's some people, some of us, that not only are thanking God for that, and that gives us peace and satisfaction and relief, but there's some of us over here thanking God for the glorified body. Not only will I not have a body like this, but I'll have a body like His. Mercy says this body no longer. Grace says a body like His. Now I'm going to turn on you. I got you happy. I'm going to get you now. You've been having fun so far. I'm going to have fun from now on. Now follow me carefully. Not only am I to receive mercy and grace, but I am to give mercy and grace. Some of you folks got bitterness in your heart. Stop your ears. Some of you folks have hatred. Stop up your ears. You don't want to hear this. I'm going to skin you. Not like I'm going to tonight. I'm going to skin you. You sit there and you say, thank God for His mercy. What I want, I won't get what I deserve. And thank God for His grace. I'll get what I don't deserve. But those people that do something against me will get neither one. You become a Christian when you accept mercy and grace. You become a good Christian when you give mercy and grace. Sure does get quieter when I get on this thing. Mercy says, I don't hate him anymore. Grace says, I love him. You become a Christian when you receive God's grace and God gives you what you don't deserve. You become a good Christian when you give to your enemies what they don't deserve. Mercy says, justice says, I return evil for evil. Mercy says, I won't return evil for evil. Grace says, I'll return good for evil. Preacher called me on the phone. Preacher that not turned on me, but turned from me 6 years ago. Didn't attack me, never criticized me. He just broke fellowship with me. But never was my enemy. He just ceased being what you call a friend. Called me on the phone after 6 years. Said, I'd like to talk to you. I said, what about?
he said, about making it right. He drove 300 miles. We talked 2 hours. almost 2 hours, hour and a half. We talked. He said, I want to make it right. We had not good fellowship. I gave him mercy. Don't leave me. I gave him mercy. What does that mean? That means I don't feel bad towards him. That means I'm not ever going to criticize him. I never have, by the way. That's what you call mercy. Then I bought him a new suit. That's what you call stupid. That's what you call grace. You follow me? How you treating your enemies? How you treating folks don't like you? You say, well, if they'll ask me, I'll forgive them. You better thank God Jesus didn't do that. He gave you forgiveness before the world was ever created. Forgiveness was all stored up for you. All you had to do is get a spoon, dip in. Thank God I won't get what I deserve, and thank God I'll get what I don't deserve. But if I receive that kind of mercy and that kind of grace, I'm supposed to offer that kind of mercy and that kind of grace. Boy, fundamentalists need this. We can shout about cause we don't get what we deserve, and then we can shout because we get what we don't deserve, and then turn around and eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and bitterness in our hearts against somebody. This morning, everybody in this room has got something against somebody else. Ought to stand, walk down here, kneel at this altar and say, by the grace of God, I've got eternal mercy, eternal grace. I did sure can give back temporal mercy and temporal grace. Mercy says, I won't curse him. Grace says, I'll bless him. Mercy says, I won't punish him. Grace says, I'll reward him. Illustration. Jacob deceived Esau twice. Got the birthright, which means the double portion of the inheritance of his father, which means the priestly rights for the family, which means his name being in the lineage of the Savior himself. And Jacob tricked him out of that, and then tricked him out of the blessing of his blind, aged father. Jacob had every right. Eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. He had a right to kill. Esau had a right to kill Jacob. 20 years passed. Jacob decided to make it right with Esau. He got a bunch of gifts and took off and met Esau. Esau, a big guy, could have creamed Jacob. Jacob says, I got some gifts for you. Esau said, don't want them. He said, all's forgiven. That's mercy. But then he took him back as his beloved brother. That's grace. He didn't treat him poorly. That's mercy. He treated him royally. That's grace. Prodigal son. Prodigal son came back. His father forgave him. Didn't punish him. That's mercy. Gave him a ring, pair of shoes, a new garment. Made him as not a hired servant, but as his beloved son again. Taking him back and forgiving him and not punishing his mercy, but giving him the ring, the shoes, and the robe and making him his beloved son. That's grace. Listen, if God Almighty can take you back and take me back after what we've done against him and nailed him to Calvary and not give me what I deserve and then in mercy and grace give me what I don't deserve, I dead sure can give my enemies the same thing. Abraham's nephew, Lot. Abraham adopted Lot, made him his own son, made him an heir of all of his wealth. And Lot decided he wanted the best. He decided to go against his father, legal father, not natural father, but he was adopted, legal father. Abraham, not only by mercy, he said, you can have your part of the inheritance. By grace, he said, choose the best part. Now you listen to me.
It's time you got that filthy septic tank heart cleaned out. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Live it! Live it! The Prince of Peace has come. Then live it! I'm talking to somebody that's got a fleshly brother or sister. And you've been broken from them. I mean, there you've been severed. You ought to give them mercy. Forgive them. And then you ought to give them grace. Give them what they don't deserve. And don't give them what they do deserve. On the basis that God treated you that way. I don't understand people. Live a life of bitterness. I'll guarantee you, I can start in this corner up here where this couple's talking and misbehaving up here in the corner. I can start up there. And I could go all the way up here to this couple that just quit misbehaving because I spoke about that couple right there. And I'll guarantee you, you could list every enemy you've got in this building. You could list every one of them. And I'll promise you that all of your enemies added up would not be a fraction of the enemies I've got. And God sees my heart this morning. I not only do not feel ill will toward my enemies, but they can have their shirt off my back if they need it. Oh, thank God I'm saved. Thank God my sins are forgiven. Well, glory, thank God. Thank God I... Well, how about exerting some of it? Here's the sad part. We rejoice in getting it and refuse to give it. Let me close with this, and then I'll close with something else after a while. But let me close with this. I thank God today, the peace that floods my soul, because I'm not going to go to hell. Boy, just to miss hell is enough. The fact that God would not send me to hell. What mercy. What mercy. The fact that I have the peace in my soul, I'll never burn forever. The fact that my sins have been erased from the books of heaven. What peace. That makes me feel peace. And then I tiptoe over here to grace. I say, praise God. Look what He gave me that I didn't deserve. He not only took away what I do deserve, mercy. But He gave me what I don't deserve, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Two statements. When you accept mercy and grace, you become a Christian. When you give it, you become a good Christian. You're not a good Christian because you tithe. That's what you're supposed to do. You're not a good Christian because you don't drink liquor. You're a good Christian whenever you offer to those who are your enemies what the blessed Savior offered to you. To those of you today who've never been saved, you accept His mercy. You will not have to go to hell. You accept His grace. You'll go to heaven. His mercy and grace is available. For those of you who are Christians, there's a graduate course for you. And that is to become a good Christian. But you don't know what He did to me. No, but I know what you did to Jesus. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy to find grace. Come to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and grace. Walk down this aisle and accept His mercy. Accept His deliverance from hell and His preparation of a heaven.
accept His blotting out your sins and accept His writing His own righteousness on your record, His mercy and His grace. And this morning, if you're here and you're just a Christian, why don't you become a good Christian? You'd be surprised. You'd be shocked. Okay, let me close again. Boy, it's a wonderful feeling to know that my sins are forgiven, erased from heaven's books. It's a wonderful feeling to know that my name is written in heaven. I'm a child of God. That's a wonderful feeling. But I'm not sure it's any better than the feeling you have when you buy a suit for the fellow who turned from you. Our Heavenly Father, I pray you